The Two Beasts. On either side of the kingdom of Fabulisia live two decidedly different beasts. The story beast is a large, fruity-toned monster, whose voice sounds as if all the words, however poetic or tender, were actually typed in bold. The gory beast, on the other hand, is a rangy creature who speaks entirely in capitals and whose manner would be described by an Englishman as somewhat direct and by an American as goddamn rude. I am, I must confess, equally fond of both of them. This is helped greatly by the fact that I've not actually met them. But on my visits to the kingdom, I have heard the people speak of their beastly pair with a mixture of lemony wonder, earthy fear, and a pinch of salt. The story beast and the gory beast are brothers, but as is often the way with siblings who are close in age, they are very, very different in character. Local legend has it that they fell out years ago and can only communicate with each other by remote telegraphic message, that if they met in person for confabulation, there would instead be conflagration. They are to each other as matter and antimatter, antipathy and pathy, pasto and, well, you get the idea. They do, however, eat the same kind of food. Stories, though the kind of tales they favour are quite distinct. Story Beast favours tales of courage and hope. He loves to hear thoughtful little fables where peace and calm outs in the end. Gory, on the other hand, is restless and ambitious. He wants effort and brains to conquer all, and many a tale of beauty has been hurled against the wall in a fit of rage and frustration. They do share a scale of appetite that is formidable. Story after fable after tale is consumed by the beastly duo. Week after week, they gorge themselves on fiction. Sometimes they create plates of it stacked so high they can't even eat it in one sitting. But as they have aged, so they have slowed. When the beasts were youthful, a week's worth of stories would be devoured in a single hour. Now, though, the beasts are not so swift to nibble a narrative. Now they often pick at the stories for days, not really eating them at all. "But what of the authors?" I hear you cry. "Those poor enslaved scribes tied to their chattering typewriters, churning out tale after tale to the tastes of their beastly overlords." They, I am sorry to say, are destined to die. For without the scraps of encouragement thrown by the brother's beast, they have nothing. Nothing but an excess of words, and a diet of your own words is a thin gruel indeed. Dear readers, call for the beasts. Call them to the table to sup. Let us feast on words once more, till our imaginations burst the belt buckles of our minds. But wait. Is that the sound of poor steps?